1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful. God who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Oh, isn't that great? So when God calls you to a task, he's going to equip you and give you what you need to accomplish the task that he's called you to. Because think through this for a moment. If it's just up to us to complete the task, the mission, what's the need for God? He always calls us to a task that's bigger than us.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Oh, Father, we come before you, and I'm just reminded in this moment of how we need you, God, on every level. God, there's not any level that we can say we're okay, we got this. In every area of our lives, on every level of our lives, God, we need you. And you remind us of that so often. Our frailty, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, and certainly spiritual. Oh God, I pray, would you protect us right now from the schemes of the enemy? I ask for protection myself, even right now, from the assaults of Satan. But I pray that for these precious people here in this room, for those that are listening, I pray, would you protect them, that our eyes collectively would not be blinded, that our hearts would not be hardened, that our wills would not be rebellious, but we would just simply on all fronts have soft and tenderness as the Holy Spirit rules and reigns in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, may you speak in power, move me out of the way so that we just hear from you through the holy written word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we're looking at just one verse, verse 23. And I thought I would get this out of the way. That seems to be always the thought of God must like coffee. Why? Because he brews, right? And so someone always brings that up when we study Hebrews for the coffee lovers in the room. And all God's coffee lovers said, amen. And I figured there was going to be a shout of amen on that one for sure. Here we are. We're in a new year. And I'm just constantly reminded of the challenge that you and I face as believers in Christ. I don't take this lightly, for you, that is. I know the battles I'm fighting personally. And I want to make sure that you are hearing from your pastor that I don't take this lightly for you either. You're out there on your own battlefield, in your own homes and workplaces, and you are facing battles because the reality is this: in 26, we still face the same issues of light colliding with darkness. This has not changed. You may have flipped your calendar, but the spiritual war still rages. And I don't want to be naive, and I don't want you to think I'm naive in this regard, that I know that you're going through much as you're out there on your front lines, as you are at the tip of your spear. And some of you perhaps are walking into the family situations that are discouraging and frustrating. Perhaps you're walking into a work environment tomorrow, Monday, and greatly longing for the day that you can be no longer at that workplace. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I know this, that as long as we are breathing and there's blood in our veins, there will be a perpetual battle spiritually. And so I want you to know you're not alone. I say all of that diatribe for one reason. I want you to know that you're not alone. Number one, God's with you if you're a true believer, amen? Number two, I'm with you. And we will slug this thing out together, all for God's glory. And as I thought through that, looking at this one verse that just kept boggling in my head, has it ever happened to you where you get a verse in a good way and it just continues to sit on the front burner of your mind, on simmer, and it just sits there, and God has you there in that verse, and this was the verse that I just kept continuing, just hearing in my mind's eye as I read it over and over, because again, our theme is total commitment to God, to Christ, in every area of our lives. And when you go out to the workplace, when you go to the family reunion, when you go wherever you go, and you actually don't just talk about that, but you live that, you're going to face opposition. I mean, we're in a world where everyone does what's right in their own eyes. We live in a world where there's no restraints. We live in a world where what used to be shameful is now flaunted. We live in a world where what used to be considered that we would never even speak of that is now paraded. That's where we operate. And we're in this world, but we're not of this world, but we're still in this world. And so how do we navigate this? Like, where do you go? Like, what do you do? Do you press into God more? Do you pull back from God? I mean, what do you do? We're all going to be faced with these type of oppositions in this new year. And on the front end, if you don't have a battle plan, on the front end, if you and I don't have a game plan, the flesh will take over. It's too weak. Just too weak. And often we will fold, we will bend, we will buckle, we will take the path of what? The path of least resistance. And yet God has not called us to be passive Christians. He's called us to be warriors for the gospel. He's called us to be determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what He's called us to do. Be loving, yes. Show mercy, yes. Extend grace, you better believe it. But it's okay, church, to stand for the truth of God's word. Amen. It's okay. It's okay. But how do you do that? How do you do that when you're battered? How do you do that when you're bruised? How do you do that when your sails are torn and you're tossed to and fro? Well, I believe this one verse tells us. And so here it is, Hebrews 10:23. I'm going to read it from the ESV. And here's what it says. Four parts. Very simple. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is what? Faithful. Is faithful. Now this is key. Before we dissect this, you, I, those listening, those listening got to get to this point of, do we believe this? Because if you don't believe this, this will not be of any help at all. But I will promise you from God's word, if you and I actually internalize this, believe it and embrace it, this could be the game changer in our lives in 2026. It's not a question of, will we face challenges in the new year? Of course we will. It's not a question of, will you face opposition for your faith? Of course we will. It's not a question of, will even your own family reject you because of your faith? The more serious you get about God, those around you that aren't so serious will become greatly offended. Oh, they get really hot under the collar, don't they? They may profess Christ. They may even go to church. But when you begin to take a stand, loving, kind, gracious, not boastful, humble, but you just simply draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, we're not going to watch that in our house. No, we're just not going to go to those places. You're not doing it in a boastful way. You're just simply drawing a line in the sand to say, you know what, we want to edify ourselves as we give glory to God and praise His name. And when you even do those type of things in evangelical circles, the fangs come out. I don't want us, church, just to get by in the new year. Let's not be get byers. Let's be more than conquerors, amen? Let's be more than conquerors. And here's what the word says as we look at this in four parts. Look at, we'll call it 10:23 of Hebrews. A is an apple. There's two parts we'll even break this down into. Let us hold fast. Now, this is so interesting because when Matthew was praying, he said a word that him and I had not talked about. It was unprompted. He had no idea he was even praying today. That's the beauty of coming to this church. You got to be on your toes, amen? You have no idea what's going to be expected. And that's the joy of what we do here as we roll in the same direction. But he used the word, I don't know if you picked up on it, he said the word regarding God's commands. You know, God's word is filled not with suggestions, but commands. And it's not like he's the big guy upstairs that so many often refer to him as with, you know, some big hammer. He's got some sledgehammer that, oh, there they are again, and I want to be this cosmic killjoy to make their new year just miserable. You know, that's not what he's after. He has his commands. He's got his boundaries. He has his directives, just like a good loving parent does. It's a very similar thought process. Why? Because he loves his children. He wants to keep his children out of the ditches, so to speak, out of the gutters of life. And it's so interesting, when you look at God's word there, right there in Hebrews 10:23a, it says, let us. Somewhere right down next to those two words, do this, because that's what it means. In the original language, when it says, let us, the author, which by the way, there's great debate, and we'll talk about that some other time, who wrote Hebrews? And there's all kinds of debate on who wrote it. There's no definitive answer, but that's irrelevant because we know the Holy Spirit ultimately wrote it, amen? But it says, let us. And it's not, hey, you know, we're having a good time. Thanks for coming to the country club. Hey, if you get around to it, maybe consider doing this. That's not what that means. It actually means in the original language, do it. Like it's the original Nike. Just do it. Just do it. Like do this. Let us do what though? Hold fast. Have you ever used that thought process with someone before? Hold fast. It's not a term that we throw around very often, is it? Hey, hold fast. Hold fast. Like what does it even mean? Here's what I wrote down based on the original language in the word. Hold fast. To stand fast. Okay. Possibly getting somewhere. To stand firm. Ah, well, we can sink our teeth into that one, can't we? How about this one? To take possession of. To not let go under any circumstance. To hold on for dear life and at any cost. To be spiritually alert in the process, to relentlessly guard and be totally committed to. Now, when you take all of those thoughts come from two words as you study the original language of holding fast. So that's why we mine the scriptures. You know, we could just pick out verses in the Bible and it could be a accurate biblical heralding, preaching. But here's the deal, church, and I pray you hear my heart on this. There's a reason why we take every word in Scripture and we look at what it says. Because every word in Scripture, Proverbs 30 tells us, is pure. That's what it says. Every word is pure. We're not to add to it or take away from it, Because then God would, well, he'd call us a liar is what that verse says. But here's the thought. And I want you to hear this from just the wellspring of my heart. At Redeemer Bible Fellowship, we are centered around one core value. We have many core values. But there is one core value that we center around every time we gather, and it's the Word of God. I mean, it's the Word of God. It's a non-negotiable. I don't care if 1,000 people join the church tomorrow, and they said, we'll join just as long as you get rid of the Word of God. And you know what my answer is going to be? Go find another church. We're not compromising this. Why? Because the Word of God is your life. The Word of God, your life, my life depends on it. The evangelical church is at, I wouldn't even say a crisis. I would say there are so many that are so spiritually off the rails that the crisis has come and gone. Ichabod is running the place. The glory of the Lord has departed. It's the Word of God that is our life. It is our sustenance. It is the fuel that will get us through. Some cute story, a bunch of jokes, laser light shows, smoke machines. When you get a cancer diagnosis, is that going to get you through? No, it's the Word of God that's going to get us through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I won't fear it. I won't fear it. Why? Because I know God. I know God, you're with me. You're with me. You're with me. When the marriage collapses, when you can't pay your bills, when you're in the hospital, what's going to hold you up is not the latest fad or the latest gimmick. What's going to carry you through is the living, alive, breathing Word of God. Church, let us do this. Hold fast. Plan on the front end. Don't wait till you're in the battle to start planning. It's too late. It's too late. Plan on the front end. This new year, I'm holding fast. God's commanded me to do this. Whatever comes my way, I'm holding fast. I'm going to stand firm. I'm literally going to take possession of. I'm not going to let go in any circumstance. I'm going to hold on for dear life at any cost. I'm going to be spiritually alert. I'm going to relentlessly guard and be totally committed to God and His Word in every area of my life, no matter what the cost may be. You draw that line in the sand. Well, people come against you. You better believe they will. But we don't exist to please people. We exist to please God. Amen. And we rest in Him. That's why I wrote down key number one. I wrote this down, and this is the thought that came to my mind. As a fully devoted follower of Christ, I will hold fast because God's Word commands me to. There it is. Real simple. As a fully devoted follower of Christ, I will hold fast because God's Word commands me to. You know, in order to hold fast, we really got to back upstream. And here's the question I would ask anyone that's listening right now, anyone. I would ask anyone and everyone to ask this question, as I ask myself even, this one question. Does my life truly belong to Christ? Does my life truly belong to Christ? It's going to be hard to hold fast to something that you really don't belong to. There's a lot of people trying it. I mean, just droves of people. I mean, think about this. Why is it that so many people that you and I know that profess Christ, there's 1,000 things that they're hungering for and thirsting for outside of Christ? 1,000. And Jesus said right there, we studied it on Wednesday night, blessed are you, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be what? They will be satisfied. You can look for the 1,000 things, but you'll never be satisfied. It won't happen. It just won't happen. But when you look to Christ, you give all that you are to Christ. In every area of your life, you look to Christ. I was just reading this morning. I was flipping through some papers on my desk, and I came across the conversion of Charles Spurgeon. Powerful. Powerful. Shows up at a country church as an unsaved person. And some guy gets up there who's not the normal pastor. And he gets up and he stumbles in his words. He's not eloquent, but he just simply opens the Bible from Isaiah 45:22, which says this, as God speaks, look to me and be saved. Look to me, look to me. For I am God and there is no other. Look and live is what this ordinary guy preached. Look and live. I thought to myself, A, that's how the prince of preachers God used to convert him. Wow. But B, how many people today who profess Christ, they're looking for whatever will dull the pain and fill the void in all the wrong places. They're not looking and living, they're looking and dying. They're dead men and women walking as they're searching for 1,000 other things and hungering for things that are not of the Lord. Well, what do we do with all this? How do we take this? Well, 1 Thessalonians, write these just few verses down under each section. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Who wrote Thessalonians? Do we know? Paul, yeah. To where? To which church? The church in Thessalonica? Yeah, good. Excellent. But test everything. How much should we test, church? Everything. Hold fast what is good. Oh, that's an easy one, isn't it? Test everything. Why, Satan's crafty. He masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light, so it's going to look true. You're going to hear someone get in your ear at some point in this year and go, you know what, psh, 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 I really don't think, psh, 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 I really, psh, 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 her, psh, 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 him, psh, 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 psh. Does it really sound like that, by the way? Psh, 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 psh. And they're going to be doing that? Why? Because Satan's using them. That's how Satan works. He uses people. Gossip, slander. He's going to get in your ear to try to pull you away from truth. Test it all. Test everything. That's how this is going to happen. God's commanded us, key number one, that we're going to take the commands of God. We're going to live in truth, walk in truth, be edified by truth, grow in truth. And yet right there in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything, hold fast. Anchor to, rivet to, weld to what is good. And oh, by the way, who is good? God, Jesus, right? It's part of who he is. Revelation, into the book, chapter 3, write it down, verse 11. Revelation 3:11, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Oh, not soon enough, amen. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Interesting. Is the writer there, John, on the island of Patmos, is he referring to that you somehow have to save yourself? Of course not. When it says, hold fast, let us do this, this is not about salvation. This is not for salvation. This is from salvation. You've been saved, but we're still in a battle. Anyone that says, hey, I'm saved, but I don't battle, I would go back and check your salvation. How do you know? Well, we studied it last week. 2 Timothy 3:12, all, not some, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be mistreated, will be persecuted. They're in a battle. Just part of it. You're going to face this. You're going to face opposition. Well, right here, Jesus, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have. Stay true to the word. Stay true to the fellowship. Make priorities spiritually. Make spiritual commitments, not spiritual excuses. Spiritual excuses are a dime a dozen. Make spiritual commitments. Be as committed, prayerfully more, to Christ as we are to our vacations. Well, if we just did that alone all across the world, we'd have a different church, wouldn't we? It'd be amazing. It's just, again, we're looking for 1,000 other things to give us joy and peace.
And there Christ is saying, I'm here, I'm over in the corner, I'm right here, I'm just right here, right here, right here. 1 Peter 5:8, we've quoted this so many times, but it's going to be a necessary verse for me and you in the new year. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, clear-headed is what that means. Be watchful, number two. Why? Your adversary, the devil. Is an adversary someone who's cheering you on and encouraging you in a good way towards the Lord? Is that what that means? Of course not. The adversary, the devil, the diabolos, the diabolical one, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy and devour. Trying to kill us. Trying to kill your marriage. Trying to kill your kids and your grandkids. Trying to kill your church. That's what he's doing. He's constantly looking to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8, we got to be alert, clear-minded. We studied Romans 12, right? 1 and 2. Beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind, clear-minded, clear-headed. Bible, 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 Bible. It's your sword. Literally, you pull out the sword. Again, not a sword like a lightsaber. It's a dagger. You and I are in hand-to-hand combat. In the new year, you're going to be in hand-to-hand combat with Satan and those that are working with him. And if you don't know the word and have the word in you and have the word accessible, it's going to be tough sledding. It might even be a bloodbath. And that's one of the travesties of being a pastor, when you watch lives and families and marriages of people who once professed Christ, who literally Satan just eats them for lunch. Because you know why? Because they got to this point in their life where they said, you know what, I think I'm going to take this seriously. I think I'm going to get serious about this. And Satan goes, oh, really? Really? Okay, here we go. Game on. And they utterly just obliterate these people. I just got a text yesterday from some guy many, many states away, and I've been reaching out to him. I've known him for many, many years. And he just texted me. He said, pray for me that I will have the faith that I once had. Time is the great exposer, isn't it, of who we all really are. Just give us all time. Those that are truly in Christ will persevere to the end. But those that never truly gave their lives to Christ, there's those two soils in the middle, and they're real. They're really, really real. Really real. The cares of this life will drag them away. The business of life will drag them away. That was the third one. And the second soil, the persecution, the mistreatments. Not what the guy at the front told me. He told me, man, life's going to be amazing. It's going to be glorious. I'm taking a beating for this stuff. I'm out of here. It's real stuff, and I don't want to see anyone here or listening ever go down that road. Don't ever even toy with going down that path. Don't ever do it. Please, I'm begging you, don't do it. Please. It's your life. God must be our life. Christ must be our life. Just not on Sundays, not on occasional Wednesday. All week long, all day long, nothing but Christ. Amen? Nothing but Christ. I was thinking through the second component, and I put this question on my paper. I said, hold fast to what? Well, look at Hebrews 10:23b. As a boy, hold fast to the confession of our hope. What in the world is the confession of our hope? Jesus ultimately, great answer. That's actually a glorious, one-word, simple answer. By the way, I hadn't thought about saying this, but that was by the Holy Spirit's prompting. Thank you for saying that. Because if someone ever just says to you, what is the gospel? All you got to say is Jesus. Because he's the gospel. Now, do you want to give them a definition? Sure. But if you're looking for one-worders, if you're a one-worder, go with Christ. But here is a lengthier definition of the confession of our hope. Here it is. The urgent and confident expectation of the open declaration of what the life-transforming gospel, Jesus, offers to those who surrender their lives totally to Christ. That's a long definition of when you look at the original language of confession of our hope. those words strung together in that order, that's English of what that is. Yes, Jesus, that's our hope. Amen. The confession, we confess Christ. But what's so important is that confessions often are only with the mouth. And we want to make sure that our confession is, yes, with our mouth, but first and foremost with our hearts. If our heart really hasn't confessed, if it's just behavior modification, hey, I want my parents to be more happy with me. Hey, you know, my wife, my husband, you know, just whatever they want me to do. Yeah, I'll do this, do that. That's just behavior modification. That's not repentance. Repentance is a marked change, a true change, a 180, walking towards sin, and now we are walking towards Christ, our hope, our confession of our hope. True repentance. That's our true hope. Now, hope's a huge thing, isn't it? You guys have been there. I've been there. When you lose hope, that's a tough place to be, isn't it? When all hope is lost, been there before? The dark nights of the soul, you're just there on your pillow and the burdens are so overwhelming as you're rehearsing and nursing instead of rolling them onto Christ. And boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? It's easy to rehearse and nurse versus rolling them onto Christ, heaving them onto Christ. Why? Because the enemy goes, no, don't give them to him. You hang on to them. You micromanage these things. You figure it out. No, it's hope, our confession of our hope. And hoping is, again, it's not wishing. It's not crossing fingers and toes and eyes and crisscross applesauce. Hope is confident expectation. Don't miss that. Hope is confident expectation. That in the midst of the battle in the new year, that whatever you and I are going to face for our faith, that we'll have a confident expectation.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Here's the reality. Here are the cliff notes. If you think somehow you're going to wander through life being sold out to Christ and not lose friends, you're only fooling yourself. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You will. If you're going to really stand for Christ, again, I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm talking about being actually loving and gracious and merciful. There are going to be people in your circle right now who, the more serious you get about Christ, they're going to go, yeah, I think it's time to start ghosting you. And that happened all through the scriptures. But what do? We hold fast, don't we? See, that's the beautiful part of this. We hold fast. We hold fast to the confession of our hope. Actor Jim Carrey, I have no idea what his theological stance is, nor his salvific being rescued situation might be, but I did come across this quote. This is what he said. This is Hollywood actor, millionaire, Jim Carrey. I hope everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so they would know that it's not the answer. Period. End quote. And this world offers so much. This world offers superficial false hope that's cloaked in and wrapped in packaging that looks like true hope on the surface. Because the cravings of the flesh skew, distort, and bring fogginess to the eyes of the heart. Don't fall into the trap of seeing how much you can put your hope in the world and still claim Christ. Those who hope in the world will eventually shipwreck their lives. Key number two, write this down. Key number two. I will hold fast to the only true hope in this life which is life in Christ. Key number two, I will hold fast to the only true hope in this life, which is life in Christ.
One of the dumbest pieces of advice I've ever heard is this. Make room for Jesus. And I've heard pastor upon pastor say this, especially around the Christmas time. Make room for Jesus. Hey, Jesus, come here. Psst, got a corner for you to sit in over here. I cleaned out some stuff. Go sit over there. Make room? Like, is that anywhere in Scripture? There was no room for him in the inn. That's where they get it from. The implication, though, is not, hey, psst, let me clean out, you know, the side of the closet so you can go sit over here. The whole point of salvation is that Jesus would not go sit in the corner. The whole point of salvation is that he'd come into our lives and take over our lives, that he'd be the wrecking ball. Unless you and I get spiritually wrecked, we'll never truly give our lives to Christ. There's got to be a point of wrecking, a wrecking ball that just comes in and destroys our lives in a good way. Why? So that he can transform it. He's not there just to rent a room or hang out on the playground of life. That's not what God is doing. Write these verses down. I pray they'll strengthen us and edify us. Write down 1 Corinthians 15:19. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Let me read that again. 1 Corinthians 15:19. This is about hope. If in Christ we have hope in this life only. So if this is it, if in this life your hope is only in this life, if that's it, like if we die and that's it, we are most to be pitied, Paul says. No, we want to be those people that our lives depend on the hope of Christ. That I pray that when you and I get up each morning, that our breath, our next breath that comes out of our mouth, the next blood that pumps through our veins, that we are relying on Christ, just relying on him, totally dependent on Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:13, so a chapter over, 16:13. This is specifically for men in this ESV translation, but we can apply it to women as well. It says, be watchful, okay? We talked about that in 1 Peter 5:8. Stand firm, hold fast in the faith, act like men, be strong. I will say this regarding that verse, we are in a man crisis spiritually all over the world. We're in a man crisis, a massive man crisis spiritually. It just astounds me how the enemy is working overtime to dupe and seduce men to not be the spiritual leaders in their homes. We're called to be the spiritual leaders, men, aren't we? Amen? We're called to do this. We need to take the reins in a good way and to lead. And to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we must be. Jude verse 3, there's no chapter 3, there's only one chapter. Jude verse 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. To contend, in the original language, the word contend there means to wrestle and grapple with. So again, you go Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, armor of God. You got the one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the dagger. And now all the way at the end of the book there, you got Jude who's saying, look, I was going to talk to you about how glorious our common salvation was, but wait a minute, we got a bunch of people infiltrating this church in Jude that are heretics and that are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I found it necessary to implore you to wrestle, to grapple, to fight for the faith. That was once for all delivered to the saints. Well, you get some people that are fighting for the faith. Watch out, right? And the martyrs of old, how they would be tortured, burnt alive at the stake. They would not renounce as the flames are literally engulfing them. They're saying praises to God. They're worshiping God. They're counting it all joy to suffer for the King of Glory, as he counted it all joy For the joy that was set before Christ, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he sits at the right hand of God. I love the song, The Solid Rock. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly, entirely lean on what? Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, the question of the day is this: where are we standing? What are we standing on? Are we holding fast to the confession of our hope? Or are we standing on shaky, unsolid ground? But I found it interesting when you look at that one verse, Hebrews 10:23, there's two more words that follow. We'll call this C as in Charlie. How are we to hold fast to the confession of our hope? How? Well, two words, without wavering. It means this, to be firmly rooted. It means to be determined to stay the course with unparalleled resolve to not be detoured. Now, here's the deal. Walk through this with me for a moment. Temptations come our way, don't they? They do. Thoughts, actions. And again, it all goes back to this. It's so simple, but it's complex. But here's the, if you really want to just kind of sharpen the pencil, here it is. When we give into any temptation, we are literally saying, Jesus, you're not enough. That's what we're saying. Not out loud per se, but we're literally going, Jesus, you're not enough. I'm looking for those thousand other things that I hunger and thirst for. And Jesus goes, but wait a minute. He goes, but if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, being made right with God, you will be satisfied. And that's the longing of every human heart, satisfaction. I can't get no, what? Satisfaction. Yes, you can. You can get all the satisfaction your little heart desires. Give your life to Jesus. But that song is written in the context that I'm looking for satisfaction in every other place other than Jesus. Oh, you can get satisfaction, and he'd love to give it to you. And here we got to do this without wavering, without wavering. I made this note. I said, whether the temptation is to go back to the old covenant, which that's a lot of Hebrews, if you study the book of Hebrews, of that old covenant and it's been fulfilled by the new covenant, or even to fear the economy, or to give into the flesh, or even simply fear in the new year where God is leading. Church, we must not waver. We can't waver. We can't do it. Make it your aim. Make it a resolve in your heart today that no matter what comes my way in the new year, I will not waver. I won't do it. If we give any hint, if we prop even the slightest door open to wavering, to uncommitment, the flesh will take the path of least resistance. Gotta slam the door shut. Don't put one bolt on there. Just bolt the whole door shut. And we want to be those people that live for Christ, because our world needs people that live for Christ. Amen. It just blows me away what's going on in our world, what's going on even in our state. Just in our own state, the utter godlessness. And it continues to go into this wicked abyss by the day. Church, it's okay to stand for the truth. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, you're going to pay a price. I want to warn you. But stand for the truth. Amen? Let's stand for the truth together. That's why I wrote down key number three. Write this down. Key number three. I will hold fast to my hope in Christ as I embrace that God is greater than what I am afraid of. Key number three, I will hold fast to my hope in Christ, not my hope in the world, not my hope in my sailboat,
not my hope in my retirement plan or my spouse or my kids or whatever. I will hold fast to my hope in Christ, confident expectation, as I embrace that God is greater than what I am afraid of. This last night, I was in the midnight hour, and there were some burdens that were coming to my mind. Those burdens were coming to my mind, and I quoted that, Psalm 23. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and again, that's not just referring to a funeral. That's really referring to that there's a valley of peril. If you know anything about that culture, there were valleys. And in those valleys, boy, they were prime areas for robbers, thieves, wolves of prey, if you will, animals of prey, to stand up high and to attack who was coming through. So when you read Psalm 23, can you read it at a funeral? Of course you can. But what a great chapter to quote in the midst of your dark night of your soul as you are laying there on the pillow and the streams of tears are flowing and you got burdens that are one burden after another and you just cry out with the living, breathing sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you say, oh God, even though I walk through the valley of peril, I will not fear, for you are with me. And who else do you want with you other than the God of the universe? Amen? What comfort it brings. Matter of fact, in Psalm 62, verse 6, 62:6 of Psalms, it says this, He, God, only is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Ooh, I love that, don't you? I'm not going to be shaken. Satan, you're going to try to shake me, but I won't be shaken. I won't do it. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not going to waver. I won't be shaken, Satan. But like the old saying says, if God leads you to it, He will get you through it. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7 under key 3. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, being afraid, but of power and love and of self-control. So if you're one of those that's just fearing everything, just afraid of everything, trade that in for a healthy fear of God. Trade that in for a confident expectation of hope in the new year. Trade that in saying, God, I don't want to be fearing everything. I'm just fearing everything. Every turn, I'm fearing. Paralyzed with fear. Don't be that person. Fear God, holy all reverence, yes, but trust God. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by circumstance. Have confident expectation in the hope of Christ, the confession of our hope. By the way, it says, let us, which means what, church? Do this. It's a command. Do it. I must do it. I must do it. You must do it. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. If you're constantly afraid, that's not from the Lord. Let's call this what it is. That's not from the Lord. That may be a spirit, but I can guarantee you this. His first name's not holy. Amen? That's not Holy Spirit. That's of Satan, if we're just fearing everything. No, walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, here it is, Hebrews 10, 23, D. D as in dog for you animal lovers. It says this, for he who promised is what? Faithful. Ooh, isn't that good? We're going to walk out of this building, or those people listening are going to be doing something here later after they're finished listening. And the reality is this, that you and I, as long as we're still living, got to go live life. And you can't live in a bunker, and you can't live in a Y2K shelter, or whatever it might be. You got to go live life. You got to live life. And we need to start living from the victory, knowing that, well, Jesus has already overcome the world. The battle belongs to Him. Read that somewhere. Amazing book. Bible. We want to be those people, amen, that say, you know what? We believe in this last part. For He, God through Christ, who promised to commit to do something and then follow through. That's a promise, isn't it? By the way, we live in a world where promises hold how much weight anymore? Not much. I mean, back in the day, you could do a handshake, couldn't you? Remember those days? Back in the day, these old boys, you know, they'd sell a piece of farmland and they would do a handshake. And their handshake was their what? Was their word, was their bond. And they actually meant it. Yeah, they would draw up paperwork later, but that sealed the deal. Oh, good grief. Now even paperwork doesn't seal the deal. Why? Because everyone's about themselves. Everyone's just squirming out of this and squirming out of that. Why? Because we live in a world that's uncommitted. And it filters into the spiritual realm. There's not spiritual commitments being made. There's a bunch of spiritual excuses. And right here, we serve a God of spiritual commitment. For he who promised is faithful. It's simply saying this, that God will not lie. He cannot lie. Like, God's promises are true. Praise God. Amen? Aren't you glad his promises are true? I am so glad that when I read in Scripture that who the Son sets free spiritually is free indeed, that even though I'm tempted to sin and do sin, I am so glad that God does not cast me away. Amen? Aren't you glad his promises are true? And yet we live in a world where you're going to face people in the new year that are not going to keep their promises. What do? Well, you don't put your hope in them. You put your hope in the Lord. Faithful. What's that mean? For he who promised, God through Christ, who committed and follows through, is faithful. It means to be 100% trustworthy. A faithful person keeps their promises. And I wrote this down. Because of the faithfulness of God, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection paved the way for us to have access to God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad he's faithful? Write down this final key number four, and I pray this will all galvanize together in our mind. Key number four, I will hold fast to my hope in Christ because God and his promises are true, or you could write down trustworthy. I will hold fast to my hope in Christ because God and his promises are true or trustworthy. I mean, just think through this. You're going to go to the battle tomorrow if you're going to work. You'll be in the battle. And at some point, Satan, who's the father of what? All lies, is going to do what? Well, he's going to try to attack what is true. Well, we just read something about who is true, God and his promises. They're true. So Satan's going to be attacking what's true through his lies. And he gets in the battlefield of all of our minds, starts planting seeds of doubt and worry and fret and anxiety and whatever it might be. And what happens is we now start questioning what is true. Let's not question what is true. Let's hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Don't waver. Don't waver. Don't bend. Don't buckle. Don't break. Stay true to God and his word. And watch him work in power. Think about Titus chapter 1. This is a glorious verse, or two verses rather, that you're going to want to memorize. Titus 1, 1 through 2. It says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, here it is, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. That's good, isn't it? If you're wondering if God lies, go to Titus chapter 1, 1 and 2. Right there it says, God never lies. He doesn't lie. Doesn't do it. Everything he does is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth. It's part of the nature of God and Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful. God who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Oh, isn't that great? So when God calls you to a task, he's going to equip you and give you what you need to accomplish the task that he's called you to. Because think through this for a moment. If it's just up to us to complete the task, the mission, what's the need for God? If it's just up to you and me, he always calls us to a task that's bigger than us. Why? So that we'll rely on him and depend on him and trust him and know that his promises are true, to know that, hey, you know what? In this new year and for every year that follows, every waking moment, I'm going to hold fast. I will not be moved. I won't be shaken. I'm going to hold fast to God and his word, to the confession of my hope. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to deviate. I'm not going to float downstream. I'm not going to give in to the temptations of floating away and drifting away. And in the midst of the battle, well, do I go closer to Christ or away from him? No, I've already driven the line in the sand that no matter what comes my way for you and me, we're going to draw closer to God. And you and I do that. And I pray that God's going to reveal how mighty he really is and faithful he really is in our lives. Amen. Lastly, 2 Thessalonians, write it down, 3:3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. I've been reading this verse for the last 2 weeks. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. You believe that? He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. That'd be one you're going to want to have for the new year. Amen? The Lord's faithful. Start there. He's faithful. His promises are true. He's not lying. My God's not a liar. And because he's not a liar, it tells me right here, he will establish me. He'll anchor me in him, and he will guard me. He'll preserve and protect me and you against who? Against Satan, against the fiery darts. But we still got to do something. We got to armor up. We got to clothe ourselves in the armor of God. I don't know what you're dealing with today, church, but I know this. When I read these verses, my encouragement, my edification to you is simply to hold fast to the hope. And again, it really comes back to how we started. It's impossible to hold on to hope that we really don't have. That's why we got to assess, do I really have the hope? Does my life belong to Christ? If you answer, yes, it does. If it's true and it's real, you now have this access. Hebrews tells us. You have this access by grace in which we stand. You have a straight shot to the Father. Back in the Old Testament times, they had to go through a human priest to get to the Holy of Holies. When Jesus said, it is finished, tetelestai, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. There is now a straight shot to the Father. We no longer go through a human priest. We go through Jesus Christ, our high priest, and we have a straight shot, straight access to God. Isn't that glorious? Don't have to set an appointment. Don't have to tell God to set an alarm on his phone, to wake up. 24/7, 365, he's there. But it's key. In the midst of the battle, this is key, in the midst of the battle, in these verses, it's only found in Christ. And here's my final thought. Don't flinch. Don't flinch. When you're in a war and you flinch, what happens? At a minimum, people get hurt or worse. We're in a spiritual battle. Don't flinch. Don't do it. You know what? I'm just tired today. I think I'm just going to hang out at the house. Boy, that's a scheme of Satan. Every day out from under the word, every day out is one day that we could all be closer and deeper in the word. And we've already established that the word is our life. So when Satan comes, and he will, we don't have to look for excuses. They're everywhere. They're just everywhere. Just pick one up. Close your eyes. Pick one up off the floor. No, we want to be like J.I. Packer has challenged us in closing. And listen to this. J.I. Packer, have you been holding back from a risky, costly course to which you know in your heart God has called you? Hold back no longer. Your God is faithful to you, and he's adequate for you. You will never need more than he can supply, and what he does supply, both materially and spiritually, will always be enough
for the present period, end quote. Amen. Let us hold fast, church. Be encouraged. The battle's raging. We're in a fight, not a fashion show. But keep pressing on. Keep slugging, as we like to say. For greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Since our God is for us, who can be against us? And we know that our God is able. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we just treasure these moments where we can gather as like-minded believers to be uplifted, to be challenged for the battle. And it's real. My heart weeps, just weeps with a deep sadness over the number of people over these many, many, many years that profess you, they claim you, they grew up in a church, they even spent time in a youth group, they got baptized, and yet time is the exposer of who we all really are. And so God, I pray for us here as we are battling on the front lines with the truth of the word in a culture that loves gimmicks and games and the performance and the show. Lord, we just simply love Jesus Christ and Him crucified because we know that's what's going to dull the pain and fill the void. And the temptation for the thousand other things that are jockeying in our mind that we hunger and thirst for. God, we know that your word does not lie, neither do you. And it's only those, your word tells us, that hunger with desperation and thirst with fervency for righteousness, being made right with you, God, that will truly be the ones that are satisfied. And oh God, we live in a world of both people who outwardly, openly, just rebel against you, and even those who claim you, who are living dissatisfied lives. Oh Lord, may we be the tone setters. May we be the ones that change the narrative in this new year. May we be the ones that, even if none go with us, we're still following you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We treasure you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can gather and be serious about our faith. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. It's a privilege to be here. May we never take it for granted. But may we simply commit our lives to you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We hallow your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.